So now everybody knows how to use substring and in-string and all those good things, right? Based on Tuesday. So the assignment this week has got a couple of things that use that. One is the name flip that I told you about. The other one is extracting pieces of data to form an ID, which is something that is done frequently. In inventory, you may have, instead of just setting up an ID, it may involve various parts of the information about it, what department it's in, what category it is, and that sort of thing, and you put all those things together to, along with a unique number to form the ID. Okay? So there is one of those on that assignment as well. Okay. I guess I've got to put that up tonight. I could have sworn I put it up last night. I know I did. Maybe I put it in the wrong course. Anyway, I will put it up tonight because it just doesn't seem to be there. I was tired last night, so, you know. What can I say?
An assignment?
Yeah.
No, that's because you didn't want to give us any more assignments.
Nah, you got that one wrong.
No.
Janelle and I are in agreement on that. Okay, so we're now looking at putting multiple tables together.
Where did you click on that?
Down here, normalization definition. So we're now going to look at putting multiple tables together because reality is that we don't often have the luxury of just looking at one table. Okay? So normalization, and you have seen this before in 120. Anybody remember it? Oh, come on. Claim you do. All right.
Two tables together? Oh, yeah. I've seen it a couple of times already. No.
Okay.
This is the third time.
So explain to me. A relation is its first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. What does that mean? And why? Some brave soul. Okay, let's
think. The oil database one that you had there.
Huh?
That links the three tables, right?
Right. That's one.
So it's like access. You have to have the primary key on one and then the second the foreign keys on
yeah,
the other.
But that still doesn't get into the repeating groups. Think about an invoice, an order. You've got a company and people send in an order. How many tables are you going to need to do an order?
You could need one, but you could need 20.
Okay. Well,
if you have repeating groups, you can't make more than X amount of orders.
Okay, so how are we going to, so what are you going to do? You're going to have, if you've got repeating groups, or if you don't, let's say I have what tables? I have to have a customer table, right? If the customer is going to be, assuming that we're doing online ordering, okay? And let's assume that maybe it's a wholesale operation, so we have standard customers, although retail can be done the same way. So you've got a customer, and the customer places an order. So right there, we've got repeating groups, because I want that customer to replace more than one order. So I can't put the information about the order there, or I would have repeating groups. Okay, so now I go over and I have to have a table that is about the order. Okay, but I have a problem here. What's the repeating group problem with an order?
Am I ordering again?
That's more on the customer side. But within the order, huh?
People could be ordering the same thing.
Well, people can be ordering, one person can be ordering one thing, one person can be ordering 20 things, somebody else can be ordering 40 things. So how would I set up the limit? And I've all told you the boring story of I tried to place an order and I got to five items or whatever it was. And the woman said, thank you for the order. And I said, but I'm not done. And she said, well, I can't take any more. And I said, but I've got three more things that I want. And she sighed.
So there's a cap on the order.
That's right. Because she only had slots on the order for five different things that I could order. And so when I said I really wanted to order three more things, she had to start another order for me. So I had one order for five things and one order for three things. So I have a problem there. So then I have to go over to line items, or whatever you want to call them, but the items on the order. Okay? So I'm going to have the order is going to be made up of line items that are on the order. Okay, and then on the side, I'm going to have the inventory table as well, but that's just so that I can get the inventory information off of it. So I have the customer, and the customer has an ID as the primary key. Okay, so my primary key on that is the customer, and I can put on here anything about the customer. So I can have their name, their address, whatever I want about the customer. But everything I put on that table, and this is talking about one of the other normal forms, but everything I put on that table has to be related directly to the ID, because the ID is the primary key. Okay, so then when I come to doing an order, I can put on an order number. Okay? So I can have my order number there. And lots of times with orders, they are sequential because they want to keep track of when the order was placed in the order. And if you've got five different places that the order could be received, you want to be able to keep track of what sequential number you're at, so everybody knows what number you're at. So an order number is going to be on here, and then I need to relate it back to the ID of the customer, because I've got to know what customer placed that order. Okay? And I need to have things like the date that the order was made or something like that. That's about the order. And then I go into the line items, and the line item is going to have the order number, and it's going to have the item number. Okay, so I've got the order number that is going to relate back and tell me what order this goes with, and I've got the item number that comes over here and tells me what item it's for, so that I can print out any information I want about the item, like the price and the all of the, and the name of the item if I want that, and that sort of thing. So the order can have the item number, the item name, and the price.
Amount will go under the order?
Yes, under the line. No, amount would go under the line item, because I might have different items, different number that I want to audit. I might have different numbers for different items.
So the total cost would be under order?
Not the total cost. Total cost, you let the computer add it up. They do better than somebody else. But you would have over here the price or cost. And then you could have, if you wanted to, and a lot of companies do this, you don't want to ever repeat anything that isn't being used for linking and identification purposes. But the price might be over here, in that you might have, and I shouldn't have drawn that line because it's really not a link, but I have the quoted price. So if you want to make sure that you don't change the price on the person, you can grab the quoted price and bring it over. and so you know what you sold it at, especially if your prices are volatile. Okay. You know, at one point, one of my husband's clients sold gold, and that went through a thing where gold was changing on a, you know, an hourly basis. And so you had to be sure that you had the quoted price on there, because people were going to be upset if they didn't, if it was higher than what they were quoted. If it was lower, they probably wouldn't complain. But, you know, you don't want to sell it for that. So you have the things, you have multiple tables there because of repeating groups. A customer is going to place more than one order. An order can be for more than one line items. And so, again, you don't want to set a limit of how many orders a customer can have. And if you put order over on the customer, then you're limiting it. And if you put line items on the order, you're limiting how many they can buy. Okay?
I've gone over this like four times.
At least. At least.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
It does. Just, I can never like articulate it back.
Right. Oh, that's okay. So then I have set up, and my primary key is going to be the order number. If the order number is unique. Okay, then I go to over here, my primary key can't be the order number. It's got to involve both the order number and the item number. And then if you let somebody order the same item twice in the same order, you got another problem. Okay, and the primary key on the inventory is going to be the item number. So, an order is in first normal form if it does not contain repeating groups. Okay, so that's the first thing that I go for, is I want to make sure it's not containing repeating groups. Okay, a relationship is in second normal form if it is in first normal form. And no non-key attribute is dependent on only a portion of the primary key. Okay? So we looked at the primary key over here is going to be the order number and the item number. So I can't have anything that doesn't relate to both parts of the key. So I can't carry over here something like the item name, okay, or the item price for that matter, or anything about the order in particular. I don't want to have anything on here that doesn't relate to the entire key, okay? So number ordered relates to the entire key. It relates to a specific order and a specific item. Okay, and quoted price is, that was the price that was quoted for that particular item on that particular order. And so those relate directly to the key, to the two parts of the key.
So, a quantity, would that be like a quantity in inventory and then brought to the line item?
No, the line item is the number that I order, so I want five of it. Whereas inventory quantity would be how many I have on hand in the warehouse.
Okay.
Now, at some point, there's got to be a calculation made that when this gets shipped, I ordered five of them, when this gets shipped, it subtracts from what's available. Okay, but we're not doing that right now. But that would have to be in the program, where when something got shipped, you don't, you know, you may subtract some people in inventory, keep both the quantity on hand, and then they keep track of what's committed. So if I order five, then I've committed more. And they can either keep track of it by keeping a number of committed, or they can keep another on hand, you know, on hand that we actually physically have on hand, and on hand minus the committed. And so they can set both of those up. Okay, then, a relationship is in third normal form if it's in second normal form, and if the only determinants it contains are candidate keys. Okay, so I'm trying to think if there's an example to put on this. There must be something I can put in customer that would work, but I can't think of it right this minute. But let's take student. If I were to carry a file for something else on students, and I have a student ID, okay, and the student has a major, and so I'm going to put their major code on there. Okay, so I would have the student, and I would have the major code. And then what I'd want is a separate table to carry the major. And then the major code would be on that table and have the major name. And I can't carry the major name over on the student table, because then that would mean that the student name was dependent on the student ID, not on the student ID. I mean, on the major ID rather, not on the student ID. Let me actually write that down. Okay, so I've taken a picture of that, right? So now I can make the ink go away. And if I have a student, so I have a student table, and I have on it the student ID and the name, and at some point I have the major code. Okay, so I have another table, and that has, whoops. That has the major code as the primary key, and then the name of the major. Okay, that's the way I should do it. If I tried to put the major name over here, that's a problem, because major name is dependent on major code, not on the primary key. Okay, so it is dependent, major name is dependent on major code, and I can't carry anything here that is not dependent on the primary key. Major code is dependent on that. Okay? Major name isn't, so I can't carry it there. I carry it over there. And think about just changing it. If the name of the major changes, I can now change it one place. Okay? So if we went from CI and we changed the name, I can just change the name in one place. If I'm carrying the name over here, I have to change it on every single student record. Okay, and that makes no sense. So I carry it on a separate table like that. I carry it on the major table, which has a major code, and the major code relates to this. So major code relates like that. If you go on to get a four-year degree, you really should take a course in database design. It's not the kind of thing that you give somebody when they get their first job, hopefully, that they should be designing a database. when you design a database, it should be a group activity, first of all. And I'm not real fond of group activities, but this should be a group activity, okay, where you have technical people and people in the business, whatever the business is, talking to each other and determining what data they need. And the people in the business are providing the what data they need and how they're planning to use it. And the people on the technical side are saying, okay, this is the data you need. These are the tables we got to break it up into to make this work. Okay? And it's good to have more than one person on the technical side looking at it and analyzing it. Because once it's designed and implemented, it is a royal pain in the neck to fix. Okay, so you want to try to get it right the first time and not have to fix it. My husband, again, I've been lucky, but my husband, again, worked for a company that, carried the customer name, I think, four different places. So if the customer name changed, they had to go in and change it in all four different tables. It should be carried once. So you change it once, okay, and then you link from everything else. People are afraid of linking, but linking is a safe way of doing it. You should be linking between tables on a regular basis. Okay. So that's the rules for third normal form. And there are other rules that go further than third normal form, but the majority of people are content with getting it into third normal form. Okay, so there's a bunch of slides on that. And then we're going to, in a minute, look at... Okay, a little vocabulary. An entity can be a person, place, or thing. An attribute is a property of an entity. Primary key, foreign key. We looked at foreign key. A foreign key is an element on one table that links to the primary key on another one. And a candidate key is something that could have been used as a social security. I mean, yeah, right. It could have been used as the primary key, like social security. Got ahead of my sentence. So a student at BCC, when I started, the social security number was your ID. That's patently illegal. Okay, the government says, no, you're not supposed to use social security number as an ID. And they eventually changed it over to have a student ID. But social security number is a candidate key, technically. Breaks the law, but it's a candidate key, technically. Okay, and a foreign key is something that links. So when I had the major code linking in, okay, major code is a foreign key, and it links to a primary key. Okay, so a foreign key links to a primary key. A foreign key is an element or attribute on one table that links to the primary key on another table, thereby establishing a relationship between the two tables. And a primary key can be more than one field. Okay, and that's the other key to remember, is that primary keys do not have to just be one field. And if you end up trying to make them just one field, then you end up making all these numbers that who can remember? Because you end up making unique numbers for things, as opposed to using the data.
So if you're linking databases with multiple primary keys...
Well, no, not multiple, okay. Multiple.
Well, one primary key with right. multiple attributes.
Right.
You would need to bring all of those attributes if you're linking that to another table.
No, you can link to one part of the primary key.
Okay.
Like when we went back... Okay, let me make sure I captured that. If I go back to that one, okay, item number on here linked into the primary key there. That was what you were, okay? So that linked into the primary key. Okay.
No, like,
and auto number over here was a primary key that linked into part of the primary key. Yeah, go ahead.
No, but I'm saying, like, alright, so one primary key, like, customer, is ID.
Yep.
Has two attributes, the name and address. Right? So that's,
well, the customer table has two attributes.
So that's what we're, that's what you're talking about when you're saying that the primary key can have three attributes. So that's, like, almost.
No, well, that is, no. I was talking about a primary key can be made up of two fields or three fields.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
So you can read your spots.
Well, here's the primary key. For a line item, and it's made up of order number and item number.
Okay.
On that donor table that we keep looking at in Oracle, because I do, the donation, okay, the donor has a primary key of ID number, donor ID.
Mm-hmm.
But the donation has a primary key because I want to get more than one donation out of them, and it has the donor ID, and then I put in the drive to know what drive they contributed to, and then the date of the contribution. And so those three things together make up the primary key. Okay? Okay, and there's another explanation of third normal form and second normal form and first normal form that you can look at. Okay. So this is the donor table that I set up. And this is the information that I gathered that I needed to have on tables. Okay, so then I went from saying, okay, this is the information I want, to starting to set it up. And I have to remove competing groups or repeating groups. Okay, so I have a one-to-many relationship between a donor and a donation, and this is important too. There's a one-to-many relationship between the donor and the donation. So that means one donor can give many donations. But a donation is only given by a single donor. So it's a one-to-many relationship. One donor gives many donations. Okay, so I have to pull out the information about the donations. And so the first table that I made is about the donor. Okay. So the first table I made is about the donor. And on the donor, I have the identification number as the primary key. And then I went in and said, okay, now the donation information, I'm going to have to carry the ID number because I need to be able to link these two tables together. Okay. And so then I went in and said, okay, so now I've got a donor information and donation information. And then I went in and I said, okay, the donor information, the donation information rather, I'm going to have the ID number, I'm going to have the amount of the contribution, I'm going to have the date of the contribution, and I'm going to have the drive number. Now, I probably did not need to have the drive number. I just set this up that I wanted the drive to be part of the key because it was important to me. But I could have done it without that. So the primary key for the donation table became the ID number, the drive number, and the date of the contribution. And again, the drive number was not necessary. I decided I wanted to have it there. So I have the ID, the drive they gave to, and the date of the contribution. Okay. So then I went over to the next thing and said, okay, the donor information has the ID number, the drive number, the date, the amount of each contribution, but this information about the drive can't be on there because the drive name only relates to a part of the primary key.
And Chris, that may have been part of the question you were asking.
Yes, and one of the other...
So the drive name cannot be on there because it only links to part of the primary key, not the whole primary key. So I'm going to pull out the information about the drive. Okay. So now I've got the donor information is one table, the donation information is another table, and then I've got the drive information, which has the drive number as the primary key, the drive name, who's chairperson, how much money it made last year, and how much money it has made so far this year. Okay? These link together. The drive number can link down to this to get any information it needs about the drive, because the drive number can link into a primary key. And the ID number from the donation can link over to the donor based on the ID number to grab any information that it needs. So if I wanted to print a report that included the donor's name, I link from this ID number to the ID number in the donor and grab the name. And if I wanted to include the name of the drive, I can link from the drive number in donation down to the drive number in drive and grab it there. So I can grab the drive name or whatever I need to grab. Okay, and those are the tables that I used a lot in my notes on the donor. And then if I wanted a contact person that I could, that is going to be the person that does the contact and begs the person for money, etc. Okay, I can take and set up a contact ID that has that information in it. Okay, and the only thing I carry over here is the contact ID. If I want the details, I come over here. Because the contact ID is going to, contact person, is going to have more than one donor that they're in charge of bugging. Okay? So that's a very simple design. What did I just do? Hopefully I did not. Okay, so that's good. I did not close the wrong thing. Okay, the next one is notes on first one-to-one, more on relational databases, including one-to-one, one-to-many, and many-to-many relationships. Okay, one-to-one is there is one record for each ID on two tables. And the example I always use, because this one is not very common, the example I already always use is an employee. I want certain information kept confidential about the employee. I want other information readily available, like name, address, phone number, etc. So I can break it up and have information on the employee that's public on one table and the private information on another table. And that's not a terrific example, but it's the best I can do on that. One-to-many is one that happens a lot. And it's the one donor gives multiple donations. Is it one-to-many donation? Now, frequently, one-to-many turns into many-to-many, because you end up having two tables that you can access. Like we talked about, you have to access the customer table and the inventory table. Okay. And many-to-many is that. And, okay, so there's the one-to-many. Here's the many-to-one-to-many, rather. Here's the one-to-many.
Okay, one customer, or one donor rather, one donor gave many donations. Okay, so one donor gave many donations. So that's a one-to-many relationship. Somewhere along the line, I saw the many-to-many that I really like. Well, that's another one-to-many. Okay, so one-to-many is on the inventory table, I might have a vendor number. And I'm probably, a lot of my different inventories have the same vendor. So I just put the vendor number on the inventory table, and if I want other information about the vendor, I have to link over to get it. I have to link over to grab it. Okay, that's the one that I like best about them. Somehow it makes it clear. I have a movie table and I have a star table. And I can't carry the star on the movie table because a movie has multiple stars potentially. But I don't know how many stars. They just could potentially have many. And the star presumably has been in many movies or they wouldn't be a star. Okay? So, therefore, I can't carry the movies on the star table because I have repeating groups. So those two are repeating groups. And so I have to have what is frequently called a bridge table. So I have a many-to-many relationship. I can't carry the movie on the star, and I can't carry the star on the movie. So I make a bridge table that bridges them. And the bridge table has the movie number and the star number as the primary key. Okay? So the movie number and the star number is the primary key. And then I can have data on there that applies to both. And salary does. It's the salary for that particular star in that particular movie. So salary applies to both. So you set up what is frequently called a bridge table to bridge between them. Okay, then I put in student information, and the student information has the social security number is a candidate key. And the major code I can have there, but this is what I looked at a minute ago. The major code also is on another table where I can go to get the major name and the chairperson. Okay, and then for student, the student has an ID, the course code, and the semester taken. So those three things are in the student course table. Okay, because a student can take many courses. So obviously students can take many courses, I need to break it down. So I set up a student course table, which has the student ID, the course code, and the semester the course was taken in case they need to take the course a second time. Okay, if you didn't have the semester the course was taken, then nobody could take a course a second time. Okay, and that's big trouble. So, and then you have the grade that the student got on that particular course on that particular semester. And I mean, think of the kind of transcript you get at advising time. Okay, it's broken down by semester, and then it's got the courses broken down by course code inside each semester. And then if I want information about the course, I've got to go over to the course table, and the course table is going to have the course code, will get me the course name and the number of credits and any other information that I want to carry about the course. Okay. Questions? Okay. So, now we're talking about how we can put this into Oracle. Okay. So I've got my donor table.
So I've got a donor table that is set up, and I've given you the description of that donor table. Okay?
Under ID number, it says not null, which means that when I did this, I probably set the ID number to the primary key. Okay? Because if it says not null, it means usually that it has a required, and usually that is an indication that I've set it to a primary key in Oracle. Then I have the donation table. And the donation table, I'm not showing primary keys here particularly. I just apparently have hid that in the donor. In the donation, I'm going to make the primary key, the ID number, the drive number, and the contribution date. Okay, that's the thing that I'm going to make the primary key. Okay. So up on the donor, the primary key is that. Down here, the primary key are those three fields. And if you're concerned that somebody's going to make a donation twice the same day, you know, you want to hold on to that person, anybody that's donating to you twice on the same day. But anyway, donation date can go up through time. So you can get it down to time, and then that can definitely make it unique. And then down here on the drive, the primary key is right there. So both on the donor and the drive, the primary key is a single field. But on the donation table, the primary key is different. Okay. So, right now, I'm not even really worrying about primary keys. I just mentioned those. So, in a relational database, there are two ways to do this. One is using the where clause, and one is using the join. I like the where clause better. I think I'm in the minority. I think most people today use the join clause, and we will look at that probably next Tuesday, because I don't think I'm going to get to it today. But the join clause and the where clause, I just think that the where is more specific and is easier to understand. But that's me. So, I can say here, select, and I can list the fields that I want to select from each table. So I'm listing the fields, and then I say from, and I list the tables that I'm using. And then I say where, and I establish the relationship between the two tables. So, for example, I have select ID number, donation drive number, drive name. Now, one of those I have a table dot field, and the other two I just have the field names. The reason is that I am joining two tables. I'm joining the donation table and the drive table. And it turns out the drive number is on both of those tables. So if the field appears on both tables, I have to specify which one I want them to use. So I have to say ID number that only appears on the donation table. So that's not a problem. Drive number appears on both tables, so I have to pick one. And say donation.drive number, or I could have said drive.drive number. Drive name only appears on the drive table, so I don't need the table name in front of it. Now, if you remember back to Access, if you wrote code and then went and looked at the SQL, it put the table name in front of every single field. And I told you at that point that you didn't have to do that. You only have to do it when it's not unique. Now, in the where clause, I'm saying I want you to match the drive number on the donation table
to the drive number on the drive table. That's the link I want you to do. So since I'm saying I only want them when they're equal, it clearly doesn't make any difference whether I wrote donation drive number or drive number, because I want them to be equal anyway, and if they're equal, it doesn't matter which one I choose. Okay, so I said, show me the ID number, the drive number, and the drive name. Get the information from these two tables and do a link such as the drive number is equal to the drive number. Okay, if I did that without doing the link, then I would get every possible combination, and I show you that down below. Okay, so if I didn't put the link in and just said select this information, and I put in both so you could see both when I did that, it gives you every possible combination. Okay, so kids shelter, you've got drive 100 on one of them and drive on the other one. It's linking together, not on matching, but every single possible combination. Okay, so since you're getting every combination, basically it's worthless. Okay, that particular, this one, the second one here, is worthless. That was wrong. Because I need to have the linking to get any meaningful data out of it. Does that make sense? Hello? Anybody? Yeah, but somebody did this.
Well, my thing is, like, I get what it's doing, but, like, I don't know, like, alright, so, how you omitted the clause, the where clause, and the database obviously shows duplicates and whatnot, different records. When you link them, and it doesn't reveal the other ones. Some of them aren't there, but they don't conjoin or anything like that.
The only thing I'm getting is the ones that have a link. So one, okay. So which ones am I seeing? Looking down here, the first one that came up when it linked was 111111100. So 111 and the 200s are the same. So I'm getting that one up above. Okay, the next one I got is 2345, and that has the same in both. So I'm getting that one.
Okay, now I get it.
Okay, then I go down, and just to finish up, this one is the next one where they link, and that is indeed 12121. So that one is showing up. And then, where's the next one that links together?
The last one.
The last one. These are not very clear. Some of the 100s did not link. So those are the four where I have the same number in the both drives, because I put up both drives.
Okay.
And those are the only four where the same number is in both drives. Okay. Okay. Now the next one allows you to give them a abbreviation. So I've got an abbreviation. I'm calling donation DO and I'm calling drive DR. And so I can refer to DO and DR up there. And I'm linking the DO drive number to the DR drive number. If you have ridiculously long table names, this helps you out. I'm not sure that I think on the whole it's worth an awful lot, but that's all right. Okay? So what I'm doing is I'm giving the table an alias. If you remember back to the first assignment where I asked you to give columns an alias. An alias is done by not having the comma until after I have both the name and the alias. And then I have a comma, name, and alias. Okay?
So I can do that if I want to. The where clause can also be used to look for particular ones. So I said, here, I want to do all the things that I've just done, but I also want the drive number greater than 100. And so if you look up above, if I'm eliminating drive numbers greater than 100, I'm eliminating the top two records, and I'm only getting the bottom two, and that shows up. Okay. On the next one, I've got three tables. So now when I've got three tables, I've got to link them all together. So donor has an ID, what did I call it? ID number. Donation has an ID number. And drive has a drive number, as does donation. Okay. So that's the primary key there. These are the primary keys here. This is the primary key here. Okay, so when I'm doing a link, I say, okay, I want the donor ID equal to the donation ID, and I want the donation drive number equal to the drive number on the drive table. Okay, so those are the links I'm making. And that links the three tables together. The donor ID links over to the donation ID, and the donation drive number and the drive number are linking together. Okay? So I am setting up the links like that. Questions. So I want a total linking between those, and that gets me the answer. And again, ID number appears on two tables, so it needs to have the table name dot field name. Name does not appear on two tables, so it can just be there as name. Drive number appears on two tables, so it has to have the table name in front of it. And again, it doesn't matter which table name. This could have said donation ID number and drive number. It doesn't matter which it says, because I'm declaring that they have to be equal. And if I'm declaring they have to be equal, it doesn't matter which one I pick.
You can drop and add primary keys, right?
Yes, you can definitely drop and add them. You can add them when you're creating the table, or you can add them after you've created the table. And we'll get into that next week. Okay, so now they've given you four kinds of joins. Equi-joins, non-equi-joins, outer joins, and self-joins. Kind of bizarre. Okay, so we've got everything we've looked at up till now has been an equi-join. That means equal. Okay, we've been looking for equality in all of our where clauses, so we've been looking for equi-joins. Okay, a non-equi-join is this one, where I am saying I've got a table called grade and I've got a table called schools. Okay. So I'm saying, show me the grade name, the grade level, and the group name
from the grade in the school, where the grade level is between the low grade and the high grade. Okay, so what that basically means is I've got two tables. I've got the grade, and I've got the school. And the school has on it a field that is the low grade, and a field on it that is the high grade. Okay, so for low grade, you might have one, high grade might be six. So that's an elementary school, okay, if you have one and six. Then you might have seven and eight for middle school, 9 through 12 for high school. So you have a record with those things on it, okay? The grade one has a grade level. Okay, so if the grade level comes in as a 5, then it is going to be between that 1 and 6. And if the grade level comes in as a 11, it is going to be between the 9 and the 12. So if it comes in as a 5, then we get, let's say the name of the school was elementary. It would come back with elementary. Okay, I had a record 1-6, which is elementary, a record 7-8, which is junior, and a record 9-12, which is high. So 5 is going to come back with elementary, 11 is going to come back with high. Okay, but the point here is that I've got not an exact equality. I'm saying, is it in this range? Okay, and if it's in that range, then come back with what school it is. An outer join can be used to display records that do not satisfy the join condition. To do this, we put the join operator, which is a plus sign, in parentheses in the where clause, on the side of the join that is missing information. And if you ask me this tomorrow, I won't remember it, because I never remember which side the plus goes on. Does it go on the side that's missing or the side that's got the extra? And I always have to look that up. That's just a given in my life. Okay? But there is a plus sign in parentheses on the where clause on the side of the join that is missing information. The result is the creation of null rows on the side that is missing the information, which are joined with the side that contains the information. Okay? So, again, practical examples, okay? So I said select asterisks from drive, and then I did an insert into drive. So I added another drive in there, okay? So I've now got a drive that is drive 400. Okay, so now I want to do a join, and I want to do the drive number, the contribution amount, and the drive name. That's what I want to see. Okay, now I put in the drive number twice so that you can see it. But I want the drive number, the drive name, and the drive number, contribution amount, etc. So what I did is I went in and ran it. Well, the 400 doesn't have any donations. There is nothing in the donation table that has a 400, because 400 wasn't a legal drive. Okay, so no donations have been given to drive 400. I just added drive 400. No donations have been given to it. Okay, so I'm writing from donation
comma, drive, where the donation drive number, the side that is missing the data, okay, equals the drive number. That's the side that has the data. There is a drive number in the drive table. There is not a 400 in the donation table. And so it comes up with the line where there is no information from the donation table. So donation drive number and donation contribution amount don't show. But drive number and drive name show. Okay? So if you suspect that you don't have a match between two tables on something, but you still want to see all of the drives listed, as in I did in this case, then I put the plus on the side that is missing the data, which is the drive, which is the donation, rather. The side that is missing the data is the donation. So I put the plus on there, and then I compare it to the drive number over there. And that basically says, even if you don't find a match on the donation side, show me the information on the drive side. Ordinarily, it would not do that. So, if you look at the one below, where I didn't put the plus in, you don't see anything about drive 400 because it was looking for equality and there was no 400 on the drive on the donation side, so it doesn't show up. But when I put the plus in, it does. Okay? And again, this is not always used, but occasionally you want to do something like this, and you need to remember that you don't remember which side the plus sign goes on, and go look it up to make it work.
I can see why that happens. Like, just forgetting which side doesn't have the information.
Are you going to let me finish the last example, or are you out of here?
No, I have to go pick up my girlfriend from work.
And she's more important. Oh, well.
Yeah, because she makes dinner.
Okay, a self-join is used to join a table to itself. For example, let's say you have an inventory file that contains jackets and skirts that can be sold separately or together as a suit. You will carry the coordinates in a field called pair set. Okay? So, in the field called pair set, I have the item number, it's a jacket, and it pairs with 333. So, what I want to do is, since it pairs with 333, I want to go get 333 and see what it pairs with. So to do that, I can set it up and say, first item number, first item name, second item name. Okay? So I want to see first item number, first item name, second item name. From inventory first, inventory second. So I am got the inventory table being there twice, and I'm saying the first one is called first and the second one is called second. The first way of looking at it is called first and the second way of looking at it is called second. So now I want to say where the first item number, okay, item number is the first thing in my table. So, the first item number, that really is item number. And this is really pair set. So, where the first item number equals the second pair set. Okay.
So, what did you call that? That last one?
Pair set. P-A-I-R-S-E-T.
What is that?
Something that matches something else.
Okay.
I just gave it that name.
Okay.
Okay? So I am saying take the first item number, which is the 111. Okay, so on the first one, if you look at the first bracket, I'm going to take the 111, and I'm matching it to the 111 over here. Okay? So the item number, and I'm matching it to the pair set. Okay, and then I'm saying, okay, since that matches, give me the first item number, which is the 111, the first item name, which is the jacket, and the second item name, so I go to this and give it the skirt. Okay. Again. Not exactly used every day, but there are some combinations, sometimes some instances where you might want to use it. You should at least know that it exists and then go look it up if you ever need to use it. Okay, that's it. And we will pick up with this stuff next week.